CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Pakistan, critical to the success of South Asia through the election process. Nawaz Sharif is not the prime minister. His brother Shahbaz Sharif is the prime minister, so it looks a deal like meet the old boss, same as the old boss. However, I welcome Arif Rafiq of Globally News, a subscription site I hardly recommend, to comment on the new government that looks much like the old government. Mr. Zardari is president. And what is ahead for the challenge that is represented by the jailed Imran Khan, the cricket player, former prime minister, his very successful party, PTI, which did very well in the election, given that it wasn't allowed to stand as a single party, had to run as independents, and what this means for the army, Munir, General Munir. Arif, a very good evening to you. Let us begin with the players. The Sharif family is in place now for a dynasty. And you tell me that prepared, not hardly in the wings, on front stage is Mariam Sharif. So what are the plans? What is the thinking of the Sharifs? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me on. Well, the Sharifs are not necessarily of one mind, but the predominant figure in the party is Nawaz Sharif. He's the eldest figure in the family. He's a former three-time prime minister, and he was going to be prime minister this time around, but because his party did not get a majority in the National Assembly, he simply didn't want to become prime minister. So he's let his brother return to that role. His brother had previously served as prime minister from 2022 to 2023. But his focus, Nawaz Sharif's focus right now, is paving the path to power for his daughter, Mariam Nawaz, who is now the chief minister of the province of Punjab, which is Pakistan's largest. And that position was formerly held by him in the 1980s. That is how he became a national political figure. And his brother, Shahbaz, also held that role for quite some time. And so it's a launch pad to the premiership. And so Pakistani politicians tend to think, when it thinks in terms of policy, they tend to think in terms of 3 to 6 month increments. But when it comes to the future of the political dynasties, they're definitely in for the long game. And so Nawaz did not get what he wanted this time around, but he's focused on ensuring that his daughter Mariam will be the prime minister of Pakistan at some point in the future.
She is head of Punjab. What does that mean? What is the significance of Punjab province?
Well, Punjab is the largest province. It's also formerly the base of Nawaz Sharif's party, the Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz. It is also the most prosperous province. It's also where most of the army rank and file and generals come from. And so it is really, sort of the center of Pakistan in a political, economic, and military sense. And so to rule Punjab is also to rule Pakistan. And so that also translates into the electoral math, just in terms of where the National Assembly seats are concentrated. And so this is what the Sharifs are doing, is they're simply replicating a path that they had forged already. And then they're also just following sort of the logic in terms of where the center of gravity is in Pakistan. And Punjab is essentially the name of the game.
Imran Khan remains detained for quite some time, incarcerated, but his party is active, forming new relationships and protesting the PTI. What does Imran Khan's immediate future look like?
He'll be in jail for some time. And so the army actually has been trying to, it appears that the army has been trying to maybe strike a deal with him. There was a curious report that came out last week that the counterterrorism forces arrested terrorists who were supposedly going to attack the prison in which Khan is being held, the Adiala jail. And so it was very strange. They were supposedly from Afghanistan, and they, according to press reports and governmental claims, they were on the verge of attacking this prison that houses many others, but most importantly, former Prime Minister Khan. And so the interpretation of many in Pakistan is that this is part of an attempt to scare him and force him into making a deal where he, let's say, gets out of prison, is under house arrest or something like that, but also compromises the political capital he's earned as a result of being this kind of, you know, living martyr. And so it shows that the army doesn't quite have a real strategy to handle the Khan as the political support that is, it has been going in Khan's direction for the past couple of years. And so it definitely has a monopoly over power in the country, and it can throw people in jail at will. And to a large extent, it can also just kill whoever it wants, but it cannot, pop the bubble that is Khan's popularity. And so it really has no solution for that. And so the status quo will continue for months. But in the end, because of the economic challenges that Pakistan faces, there's really not going to be anything that can be done to undo the gains that Khan has achieved in the public sphere.
The IMF, there's a great debt to the IMF. There's also needs for the people who were flooded out more than a year and a half ago, to my memory. Does the change of government or the refreshing of government in Islamabad mean anything for the IMF debt or negotiations with the neighborhood?
Not quite. Essentially, the status quo is continuing. So as part of what is effectively a power sharing agreement between the major political parties, excluding Khan's PTI and the army, the army will continue to play a predominant role in the formation of economic policy. And so Sharif's party has effectively given up the office of finance minister, and it will likely go to an individual who's selected by the army. The army also has a seat on the table of an institution called the Special Investment Facilitation Council. And so the army now has a de jure role in the formation of economic policy. And so that's been going on for well over a year, and that's likely to continue. So you'll have a coalition government in power for this year or so, and maybe longer, and economic policy will be determined by forces that are picked by the military.
The building of Gwadar, the large port in Balochistan, I believe, at the border of it, does the change of government mean anything for the relationship with China?
I think that will largely kind of continue in an uneventful fashion. China was actually, I think, the first government that welcomed the election of Shahbaz Sharif as prime minister. And so China could care less as to whether elections are rigged or whether they're free or fair. For the Pakistani government, they're going to have to engage in talks with Beijing and many other governments on the renegotiation of debt. China is Pakistan's largest bilateral lender, and they have a close relationship, but it has come under strain in recent years because the Pakistani military has signaled it wants to pivot back to the West. And so there are some changes that are happening behind the scenes that reflect a somewhat more tenuous relationship. And so I think the Chinese are okay with the fact that there is some degree of stability, this kind of authoritarian model in Pakistan. But at the same time, the geopolitical dimension is very much up in the air. And so Beijing is likely anxious about that to some degree.
Arif Rafiq of Globally News, I recommend. I'm John Bell.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,